We live?
Nope.
We are? Okay. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman. All right, I have Dominic here from what part of Hawaii?
Honolulu.
Honolulu, and he's here with his wife, Sean. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pray in and get started with today's message, okay? So you're leaving in the morning?
Or you? We're leaving in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Afternoon. All right. Well, it's been awesome. So pray us in. Let's have this great Bible study the Lord gave me today. He's awesome. Praise God.
Amen. Yes, you are awesome, Lord. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, you are the Word, Lord Jesus. And your Word is blessed, Father. And so we ask for your blessings on Pastor Sandy here to deliver your Word. Father, give us understanding. Give us, increase our wisdom, Lord, that we may learn, Father, and advance, Father, your kingdom. Lord, we love you and we give you all glory and honor. We just want to praise your name tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we
pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go. We're just getting started. And we are ready to go, all right? Yenny, I did get your card today. I want to thank you so much. Tomorrow, if I remember doing Hebrew Club, I wanted to read the letter that you wrote me, I think a couple years ago. But I was reading it last week, and really blessed me. So thank you for the card. I really appreciate it. See that beautiful card? I'm going to bring my bag tomorrow, so yeah, dump it out like a rich man. Hallelujah. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Did you get your handouts?
Amen.
You did? Okay. I want to be able to explain to you. Did you send this to everyone, Pastor Ben?
I did not.
You did not? Tomorrow. Okay, well, you can send it to them tomorrow if they request it. A couple of people, Dr. Barry and another young man today sent me, and I can't think of the name right now, 3,000 people is a lot of people, Pastor Ben. Anyway, another young man sent me a message about 176. Why is the number 176 so important? Do you guys know? It is Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is 22 letters, 8 verses, so you got 22 times 8, 176, okay? And so the numerical value of all the verses in those 22 letters is 176. Dr. Barry sent me something very interesting. Someone else sent me something today, very interesting. Exactly 176 days from I think Passover to Rosh Hashanah this year, something like that. So that was pretty interesting. And Dr. Barry sent me something as well about 176. So of course, I said, well, let me go into my Hebrew gematria and see if 176 has any value or anything that I need to be looking at, since it is the value of the number of verses in Psalms 119. And it sent me to a scripture that says this. It sent me to Psalms chapter 69, verse 14. And it says, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. And then it has a semicolon, and it says, let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep water. So it uses the word deliver twice, but it's spelled different ways because of the way the Hebrew language works. But both spellings equal out 176. So it led me to a word that, and the word that deliver me out of the mire, and let me be delivered from them that hate me, is not Saul. And so let's look up Natsal and see what does it actually mean, okay? It means more than deliver. It means to snatch away, okay? It means to pluck out. It means to take away. It means to be torn out or torn away, to be delivered. That what Natsal means. Who thinks that sounds kind of like the rapture? Okay, so the word Natsal is not just means to be delivered, but it means to be taken out, to be plucked out. It means to be rescued. It means to be to tear oneself away. The Natsal is used twice in this scripture. Both times that it's used, which is very rare, both times that it's used in this scripture, the numerical value is 176, okay? So then I said, well, let's see if there is another word, and I misspelled delivered, so if you see it, just don't pay attention to that. Deliver, the other word that equals 176, the exact number, is cloud, and it comes from the scripture Exodus. And it came to pass that in the morning, watched the Lord, looked unto the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So the word the cloud, and we know the pillar is referred directly to the church, the pillar of fire and the cloud, which is exactly the number 176. And then we come to Micah, and we get the word equaling 176, watchman, okay? We know what a watchman is. It's what I'm doing and what many people are doing right now, trying to keep us awake so that we are aware that the rapture is coming. It says, therefore I looked unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Therefore, I will look is the word. Therefore, I will. And the word is zapa. I'm not going to mispronounce it. It's zapa, which means watchman. Okay. Therefore, I will look, or therefore, I will be a watchman unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Then in Micah chapter 7:4, it's used once again. It says, the best of them is like a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and the visitation has come. Now shall be their perplexity or their confusion. So, out of the thousands of words that are in the Bible, the three words that equal 176 happens to be delivered, cloud, and watchmen, which I thought is kind of strange. So I wanted to share that with you because if you've been following the prophecies or the prophecies that are in Psalms 119, you'll see that it totally spells out a tribulation time and totally spells out exactly what it's to happen in 120 to 127. So I thought that was very interesting. And now let's get to our message. The title of this message is God Hates a Quitter. Now, I'm on my knees, I'm praying, and I say, what do you want to title the message, Lord? And he says, title it God Hates a Quitter. And I went, okay. And I didn't really understand what the Lord was really expressing to me, but what he just really wanted me to know is there was a lot of people on my behalf that I've known that were serious rapture watch people, 2017 rapture watch people for the four blood moons, rapture watch people for all of the high times that they thought the rapture was coming. And they were on fire for Jesus. And oh, yeah, I'm going to be raptured and you're not. I'm with Jesus. And they were just so fired up for Jesus, right? And we've got to warn people about the rapture. And then after a certain time, go, hey, you know, I said, what are you doing, man? I called one guy, hey, what are you doing? Sorry to tell you, Pastor Sandy, I moved back in with my girlfriend. I go, you did what? I said, you guys getting married? Well, we're planning it for 2020, but I was like, that's a long time to sin. I say, so I see like in his heart, he's thinking like, I got time.
Yeah.
I'll plan my marriage. Lord won't come. I'll probably be married for 10 years, 20 years, and then, you know, the Lord, maybe he'll come then. I don't know. But I don't know where the brain goes. And we begin to think that God called off the rapture. And I'm looking for that scripture that said, and therefore God said, I have called off the rapture, and no one shall be taken from anywhere. Two men shall be in the bed, and then they shall forever be in the bed. You know, it's like, I mean, so the amazing thing about God is this. It's impossible for him to lie. The amazing thing about God is this. From Genesis to Revelation, he's talked about everything is about a wedding. Everything is about a marriage. Everything is about a rapture. Everything is about a Gentile bride. Everything is about that bride doing things for the bridegroom, doing things for the Gentile bride. The Gentile bride waiting for the rapture, the rescue of the Gentile bride coming back to rescue Israel. So the whole Bible is filled with the rapture's coming, okay? Now, if it shouldn't come at the time that you think it's going to come, you know, I love the Jews because for over 2,000 years, you know what they said? Next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
2,000 years.
Yeah.
They were in the Holocaust, and if they had any time to celebrate any holiday, they would say, next year in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And they never gave up on the fact that one of these years, we know it's going to happen because it's in the Word.
Yeah.
And God's Word. But not Gentiles. We go, it's in the Word, but it looks like God changed his mind. And so we began to operate in our Christian walk in a lukewarm manner because we don't have the carrot in front of us anymore. But I'm telling you, there's a huge carrot in front of you if you read the Bible, okay?
Yeah.
And it stays there, and the rapture's not going anywhere. And one day it will shock you, and one day it will happen. And if you decided to fall asleep unprepared, that's on you.
Yeah.
But we are supposed to stay strong for Christ. So what are you saying? Since the rapture's not coming, now it's okay for me to be lukewarm? Mm. That's what basically the mindset is like. Oh, yeah, I was on fire when I thought the rapture was coming. You should have saw me. I was reading the Bible every day. Why can't you do this with, you know, there's millions of people that lived their whole life with no rapture and they were on fire for Jesus.
Right.
Peter didn't get raptured. Paul didn't get raptured. They sang praises to God in prison.
Yeah.
So you like, if you were in prison, you'd go, well, when's the rapture? No. Who cares? Sing. I mean, we got to be on fire for God no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. But the amazing thing to me about the Jews is that they did that for over 2,000 years. They said, we know that God's word is true and it's going to happen next year in Jerusalem.
Yes.
With tattoos from the Holocaust on their arm. Next year in Jerusalem. And so as born-again believers, Gentiles, Christians, we need to have the same heart and understanding that the Jews had.
Amen.
And their attitude was that we know that God's word is going to be fulfilled. Because they grew up on the word of God. They grew up on the Torah, right?
Right.
And their parents told them about, oh, the sea split and we walked through on dry ground. So they knew that the God that their parents and their foreparents told them about was a real, true God. You understand?
Yeah.
And so that it was very, it was a very strong thing for them to believe the word, because they knew no matter what circumstances we're in, God's word is going to come true.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
So God says, I just want people to know one thing. I hate quitters. And you might say to yourself, well, I'm not a quitter. I'm just not as on fire as I was when I thought the rapture was happening.
Like a quitter to me.
Lukewarm is lukewarm. You can call it whatever you want. But it seems to me like if you're on fire for Jesus, you're still on fire for Jesus, right?
Amen.
It's like I love you as long as you have a job. And then you don't have a job. I don't know if I love you as much as I. You know what I mean? You got either you're in love or you're not. It doesn't matter circumstances or situations. Either you're in love or you're not, okay? So
Pastor Sandy, Marsack 7 said, Pastor Sandy, God cannot hate.
Read the scriptures, it'll say there's seven things that God hates. One of them is a proud spirit. So look it up and you'll find out that God does hate some things.
Yeah, amen.
And he calls some things abominations.
Yes, he does.
But he'll give you a list. If you look up the scripture, God got a list of seven things he hates. And one of them probably is a quitter. So look it up, because it's in there. So God wrote it, not me.
Amen.
But I know it's in there because I read it.
Amen.
So we're going
Proverbs
to
6:16 through 19.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's look at this. I want to tell you. Now I understand that we're under attack at all times. Okay. And I understand as Christians, even though we have the Holy Spirit in us, even though we have God watching over us, we have his word, we are under attack.
Yes.
And it's, you know, we sit here, if you're a victorious Christian and everything's going good for you, excellent. But you know what? The body of Christ is always under attack.
Yes.
Okay? And Satan is always trying to steal their faith. Okay?
Yes.
And I'm not talking about their belief in Jesus. Because faith in Hebrew is the word emunah, which means what? Complete fidelity. That's what Satan is after. He's not looking for, I don't want to steal the fact that you believe in Jesus. That's all right with me. Believe. I just want to steal the fact that you don't have to be completely faithful to him. You can do some other things and be lukewarm. So faith in Hebrew is the word emunah, okay? And that word means complete fidelity. Like I am totally sold out to my wife. I don't look at other women. I don't talk to other women. This is my wife and that's it, right? I'm totally sold out to God. I don't pray to other gods. I don't hang out with people who don't love my God. I don't take your opinion over my God. I don't talk about my God in a negative way. I love my God. That is emunah, okay? That's emunah. God is not interested in yet the fact that you believe that he came and he died on the cross. You can believe all that and still not be a faithful person.
Yes.
And so God is looking for your faithfulness. He says, when I come, will I find emunah? Will I find people that are dedicated and sold out to me over the world, over everything? Okay?
Yes.
So understand this. So the Lord said, I'm on my knees and the Lord's giving me this. He said, there are four things that every Christian must control in their life to be strong in Christ. Okay? And what are those four things? The first thing is you must control your study life. You have to have a study life. You understand? I don't care if you say, well, I don't have time. I got the kids and they're running. You better tie them kids up, find you a closet and read for 20 minutes. But you got to find you some study time and you have to control your study hours. You understand? Then the Lord said, also, you have to control your prayer life. Because, listen, and I hope you see a spiritual awakening right now. You have a body of angels and the whole spiritual realm waiting for you to talk, to pray. Talitha, right? Waiting for you to open your mouth and give instructions of authority in the name of the general of the army.
Yeah.
Because God left and he said, all things have been brought under my power and under my name, and I'm giving it to you.
Woo.
And then he left, right? So the power of Jesus Christ is in our mouths. And so therefore, demons are scared of what? Don't you call Jesus? Because that name causes the angels to stand at attention. The angels stand at attention to say, who do we need to attack? Who do we need to bind up? What situation do we need to get involved in? So a quiet Christian is just a general who never says anything. It would be like Ryan being a cop pulling somebody over and they're waiting for him to speak. Get out the car. Say something. He's just sitting there like... You got any instructions? I know I was speeding. You know, but you just sitting there like... And so angels, things happen in life, right? Somebody call you, and my child, this little girl, she fell off a golf cart the other day. And I start praying, man, that God would heal her and God would bring her peace and God would bring her family peace. You think that when we speak that God is like... That's not an important prayer. When we pray, God hears. Yeah. You understand? When we speak, how many of you, your kids are speaking to you or trying to get your attention and talking to you and you're going like this? I'm not listening to you at all. And they're like, really, seriously, something I have to talk to you? You just turn your back. No. So, but you think God's like that? Like his kids talk and he just goes, I don't know if I should be even listening to this portion. No, God is listening to our prayers. Angels are listening to our prayers. They're waiting for commandments in the name of Jesus of what to do. What situation do you need us to get involved in? What do you need in your life? Who needs protection? If we don't pray, then we're sitting around a bunch of people with power in our hands who never do anything.
Amen.
You understand? That's why the Bible is telling us to pray. All kinds of prayers, okay? We're going to go over these scriptures, but I want to go over these four things. The other thing that God says is you have to control what? Your thought life.
Yes.
Your thought life. Because every sin begins where?
The thought.
Right there. And you know who puts them there?
Satan
or you.
Yeah.
You don't blame everything on him. He's like, I wasn't even there when you thought of that one. Not all of them, but you know they're not in line with God, so the Bible tells you to cast them down, right?
Amen.
So you need to be in control of your thought life. Anything that comes into your mind has to be brought under subjection of the scriptures.
Amen.
And once it does that, then it'll be in control. And then once you're controlling your thought life, then now you can say, you know what? I have control over temptations and desires, because when something is suggested to you that doesn't line up with God and you immediately cast it down. The Lord told me to say this today. Man, we had a great conversation today. He said, Tanny, the worst person that you can possibly meet in the world are salesmen. He said, they're just like demons. And I'm praying and I'm asking God, how is a salesman like a demon? He said, if you give them even the inkling that you're listening and you're interested, they will never leave you alone.
That's true.
You have to be almost rude with a salesman to tell him, I'm not interested, I don't want to buy anything. I'm just here with a friend.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the sale's going to be lasting for the next 3 weeks. It's not even in the color I like. I don't want to buy anything. Well, you know, it'll only be 50% off for the next 2 weeks. They keep trying to... This is the same thing that demons do, right?
Right.
Now, if you say to the salesman, but I really do kind of like the black ones.
It's on
and cracking.
That's it.
So what do you got to do? You got to cast him down immediately. If you don't want to buy anything, you better treat a salesman like, look, man, I don't want to buy anything. I'm just here, right? Because if you give them an inkling, and this is the same thing with demons. If they suggest something to you and you're laying in bed thinking about it,
Amen.
You know what they think? I got a sale. I got a potential sale. I got a potential sale. So you got to cast it down immediately.
Amen.
And once you cast it down, now he knows that you mean business. You understand?
Amen.
Last thing we need to control, your atmosphere.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
If it's your house, you better control your atmosphere. Some mother telling me, oh, well, I don't like the fact that they're listening to secular music in my house. You just said an operative word, ma'am. House. We let some young ladies stay at our house, was related to Lisa, and they wanted to play secular music while she was, you know, staying there for a week or so. I said, no, you won't. You ain't playing none of that in here. You can go outside up the corner. There's a park down there. And you can listen to all that you want, come back and praise the Lord. But you're not going to listen to secular music
Amen.
In my house. Because this is my atmosphere, and my kids are here, and we need to be protected. You play much praise music as you want in this atmosphere, okay? And they want to sit up. Can we watch Dawn of the Dead in the living room? No, you can't. This is my house. This is my atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
I'm protecting my house, my atmosphere. What if somebody came up in your house and they're like, yeah, man, it's really nice meeting you today at work, Pastor Ben, and I'm going to come by your house just to talk with you, and they get in your house and start cursing. You'd be like, look, brother, you got to go outside. This house is protected. You understand? That type of language don't go in this house, right? So you got to protect your atmosphere, okay? Because if you don't protect your atmosphere, you might as well open the door. If your house is not protected, you might as well open the door and let them in.
Give them a key.
Okay? And once they come in, and then your kids are acting different, and then people are acting different, you got to realize, oh, my God, what's going on? Now, if nobody's praying in the house, that's a problem, too.
Amen.
So you have to understand all of this is incumbent if we're going to live strong, healthy lives amongst Christ, okay? But we have to make sure that we protect those four things.
Amen.
We're going to go back to that in a minute. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10.
Pastor Sandy, that's your car and your workspace and wherever you are, right?
Every space. You know, when you're out in public, you can't really control the atmosphere because people cursing around you. I asked the lady, could you please stop cursing? My son is here. She started cursing more. I was like, I forgot this is not my atmosphere. This is Satan's atmosphere, right? She started cursing at me. And then now the devil's expecting me to react.
Right.
And act like her. And I said, well, Jesus bless you. I'm going to walk over there. But you got to understand, if it ain't your atmosphere, you can't control it. You all at Starbucks asking people not to curse. Like, no, protect your atmosphere. But your house, it needs to be protected.
Bonnie has a question.
Yes.
It's difficult when you're the only one in your house.
Yes, it is. But listen to this, Bonnie. If you can't, if there's other people in your house that won't listen to you, okay, you can still have a prayer life that protects that house.
Yeah.
You can still ask the angels to watch over that house. You can still have a study life that keeps you strong in that house. You can still have a thought life that is strong in that house. So if you're the only strong force in the house, because some people live with their parents, and their parents are jacked up.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I can't control the atmosphere, but I can control my thought life, my prayer life, and my study life.
Amen.
That's 3-1.
Amen.
Okay? So do what you can to make sure that you're protected. Because I was reading today, the lady that wrote the book about hell. And I was like, do people even think hell is real anymore?
Mary Kay Baxter.
And I said, I don't even think people believe hell is real anymore. So anyway, are you in Hebrew chapter 10?
Yes, what verse, Pastor?
Okay, this is what the Lord wanted me to read and explain to you this chapter. So are we ready?
What verse?
Verse 1. Because this is the Lord is saying some people have given up on their Christianity. And he says, in their mind, they're still Christians. Because in their mind, lukewarm is still Christian.
Wow.
But if God's spitting you out, that means lukewarm is not good, okay? But let's read and we understand the scriptures, okay? It says, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, repeat endless year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Okay? So, the law was given, but the law was not perfect. What does the scripture say? It was a shadow of things to come. Okay? And it says that it could never make you clean. Let's continue reading here. Verse 2. Am I at verse 2? Yeah. Okay. It says, if it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would have no longer felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin, because it is impossible for the blood of a bull or a goat to take away sins. You hear that?
Yeah.
So God said the law was an imperfect thing. Okay? It was never meant to last forever. It was something that God was doing because he says to korban you. The korban offering means to draw you near. The only way you can come near to God is that you have no sin. So for you to be able to come near to a burning fire, which God is a consuming fire, he said, I have to make a way for you to be in relationship with me. So this is what I'm going to do. If you sin, I am going to give you all of these laws, and I'm going to give you a sacrificial offering that will always cleanse you and keep you in relationship with me, okay? So now if you sin, you don't have a choice. You have to bring an offering. You understand? Let's continue on. Now, it says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offering and sin offering, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. So Jesus came to give us a new covenant, okay? Now, people say, well, we're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace. Exactly, okay? Because the law, only thing Jesus did said was you cannot become righteous by keeping the law anymore. That's all he did. He said, now, to become righteous means that you have to be justified by God as one of his kids. What is your justification? I believe in Jesus Christ. I thank you that you came into my life. I thank you that you died on the cross. Now, God says, freely after that prayer and your baptism, you have been justified, right? So now you're justified. But now you're under a new covenant, okay? And so the thing that changed was Now it's a new way of having a covenant with God.
Pastor Sandy,
yes.
Faithful to Christ, she said, but we still obey the commandments, right?
Let's keep reading. Because some people may think that you don't need to obey the commandments. Because, you know, one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. But if I'm saved by grace, can I still kill? No, it's still under the law. Well, that's under the law. That's not under grace. See, we do stupid things as Christians, right? We're saying things, but we know that it's dumb. So we know we still have to keep rules, but we just want to keep the rules that we want, okay? So let's keep reading, because it explains itself. I don't even have to stop anymore, tell you the truth, okay? It says, then I said, here I am. It is written of me about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will. First, he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. This was not what God wanted. What does God want? Your heart. Although the law required them to be made, then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. He set aside the first to establish the second. The law has been set aside. You can't get saved like that no more. Imagine you go sin and you come in here with a goat. I'd be like, get out of here. that ain't gonna work. Because God says all the sacrifices are now on our lips. You can go repent, but take your goat back home and come back and repent, right? But you have to understand that we're not under the law, but we're not under the law as a way of being saved. But you're still under the law as a way of living. You understand? It won't make you righteous, but it is the way that you should live. Because the word says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. But let's continue, okay? Because this is a confusion for some people. Not me, though. We're in verse 8? 10? Thank you. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all times one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, right? Because you're being sanctified in this thing. It's the process, okay? He's justified you. Justified means what? I'm declaring that you are my child, okay? You've been justified, okay? Justified is not the end of everything, okay? Justified is I'm declaring you that you are my child and you haven't kept one law. All you did was repent and believed in Jesus. And I made you my child. That's favor and grace. Okay? The things that people had to do before was 613 laws. Here you go. Let's continue. Are we in verse 15? The Holy Spirit also testified to us about this. First, he said, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their heart and I will write them on their mind. Then he added, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. So once you repent, God forgives you. He doesn't remember your sin. And it says, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So now that you have been forgiven, there'll be no more. What kind of sacrifices? There'll be no more animal sacrifices for sin. Can you make a sacrifice for your sins now? Yes, you can repent. All your sacrifices, the scripture says that all your sacrifices are now on your lips. If you want to give God a sacrifice of praise, it's on your lips. If you want to give God a sacrifice of repentance, it's on your lips. All sacrifice have been transferred from animals to your mouth. Okay? So now you're in a relationship. Verse 18. It says, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God, okay? With a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. What is faith? In full assurance of faith. What is faith? Emunah. Faith is now you're drawing near to God, but you have a complete fidelity in the relationship. You understand? This is not, I believe that you exist, I confessed your son. This is now, he's saying, now you're going to have a complete faith in him, meaning you're going to have a complete fidelity toward God. So God expects us to walk in fidelity after we meet him. You understand? After he justifies us, now I want you to walk in fidelity. Okay? Once you get married, what does your wife expect? Fidelity. What does your husband expect? Fidelity. If you marry God and you come under a covenant of blood that someone died to marry you, and you come into a relationship, what does God expect? Fidelity. Thus the word emunah, faith, means complete fidelity. Okay? Let's continue, because we're getting there. Did I stop at, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, 19, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through a curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart, with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we possess, for he who promised is faithful. So God is faithful to you. You understand?
Yes.
That's God doesn't have any other projects going on. You understand? His church and his body is what he's concerned about. You understand? He's completely faithful to you. Okay? And it says in verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Watch this. Let us not give up going to church, as some are in the habit of doing. Is that what it says? Because, you know, we got a lot of people. They like, I'm not going back to that church. You got some friends? Meet together. Let us not give up meeting together. You understand?
Right.
Even if I don't have a place to church, to go to church, I better have some friends that I can have a Bible study with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you can't say I'm going to be a lone soldier in this because I don't have a church to go to. You got to find some friends to fellowship that love Jesus the way you do. Find out who they are. If they're on the internet, find them. Say, hey, girl, I want to call you in the morning for prayer. But find a way to meet together, because you can't forsake the fellowship. You understand? Because we're a body. Let's continue. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Can we see the day approaching?
Yes.
There's enough going on right now. We should see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Wow. So if we deliberately keep on sinning, wait a minute.
No, Pastor,
because if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have come to the truth, but we already came to the truth, we already accepted Christ. Wait a minute, I'm trying to hold on to once saved, always saved. Hold on. This scripture's messing up my doctrine. Hold up. Let me read it again. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for our sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Wow, okay. Anyone who reject the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has treated as an unholy thing the blood and the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Wow. So if I keep sinning, I'm insulting the Spirit of grace?
Yep.
I'm insulting God?
Yeah.
But what if I got a good excuse? Because if I try to live right, isn't that works?
Mm.
These are the things that people are dealing with. You understand? Because I watched that guy's video again who did the cocaine and died. And in his death, he said, I was in a raging fire and these demons were biting me. And he said, God. And he said, they told me when I was saved that once I was saved, I was always saved. And here I found myself in torment in hell. And he said, when they brought me back, he told him, I was in hell. And he said, once saved, always saved is not true. I'll send you the video. If you haven't seen it, I'll send you the video. The guy said, look, that thing's not true. So we have to actually live for God. Oh, we got to get back to those scriptures. Hold up. All right, let's continue. Okay. We know him. Where are we at, Sharon? 31? Okay. All right. We have insulted grace. It says, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. And it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those early days after you had received light, when you stood on your ground in great contest in the face of suffering. He's talking about real Christians at the time, you know. He's not talking about these new Christians. He says sometimes you were publicly exposed and insulted and persecuted in persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourself had a better lasting possession. Those were real Christians. They weren't quitting. They weren't, the rapture didn't come, I quit. That wasn't them. They withstood real stuff and they still loved Jesus.
Yeah.
35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in
just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay.
Yeah. 10 minutes, Pastor.
Do I need to read that again?
Please read it again.
For it says, look, I'm gonna start up here. You need to preserve so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous ones will live by what? Faith. My righteous ones will live by what? Complete fidelity. They're not living like, oh, I had a friend. I lost a friend. I lost a friend. And he was getting married, and his best man was giving him, he's a Christian now. His best man was giving him a bachelor party at a strip club.
Oh my God.
You know who he invited me?
What?
I said, are you stupid? I said, aren't you saved? He says, yeah, but you know, it's just for one day and it's my bachelor party. I'm like, you're looking at me, I'm looking at God. Like, what do I say to him?
Wow.
You can't be, why do you go to church if you're not going to be faithful to God? You know what he said? Why are you judging me? My wife doesn't mind. I said, well, she needs help too.
Yeah.
Both of you guys need help.
Yeah.
First, you're insulting God and you're insulting your wife.
Yeah.
But some Christians do things that the world do because their faith is not completely in God. So they can curse at you. They can sit there and have, oh, let me pour a couple of shots of this. Let's do some shots. Aren't we saved? Well, we do shots because we're just celebrating. But we're Christians. We don't do shots. You're judging. We'll go back to that. Let me finish this. I got 10 minutes. But my righteous one will live by faith. You will be completely faithful to God. You will not submit to the ways of the world or conform to what they do and say, oh, I just do it for this reason. Okay? She. And it says, and if he shrinks back, what is shrink back? If you quit, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Can you shrink back if you're not saved? No. You got to be saved to shrink back. He says, if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Praise God.
Amen.
I have to go to one more scripture and then we're going to get out of here because I got probably 5 more minutes, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to be reading from the King James because they got the scripture correct. Second Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay.
Verse 4 and 5. That should be easy. Are you guys ready? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are the excuses that you give to sin. It's what Satan helps you with. So therefore, if you have gay feelings, Satan sets up a stronghold by telling you you were born that way.
Right.
So now your gay feelings become, I was born this way. So you dig a trench like in war. So you got a stronghold now. And then the more excuses you give to that sin, the stronger the stronghold gets. And it's hard for somebody to tell you that you're in sin because you have a stronghold built up.
Yeah.
So now I was born that way. Everybody's doing it. Everybody gets high. It's only a little weed. All of those are just more dirt piled up so that you can be trenched inside and you can be in Satan's power, because now what you used to think was sin is now your everyday life, and you have a stronghold built around you called excuses. Okay? So don't build
a stronghold around you trying to cover your sins. Okay? Now listen to what it says here. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. So that means you might have to be rebuking a lot of stuff. You understand?
Amen.
If it's in, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You don't have to be ashamed that you're thinking it, because most of them are not your thoughts anyway.
Right.
Because you don't understand that you're spiritual, and these demons sitting here whispering, did you see that? Turn back to that channel. She, look at that. I look like a bikini thing. Turn it back. And you sitting there, God rebuke you in Jesus' name. With me. If I want to see a bikini, I ask my wife to put on a bikini. It's crazy. You know what I mean? You have to rebuke a lot of things. You understand? If your mind says, go in there and give her a piece of your mind. Say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, saying, we're going to have peace in this house. You know what I mean? You can't live, because it's against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
God's mind is peace. Shalom, right?
Yes.
If your mind is, I'm going to have an argument, you're out of peace.
Amen.
Go somewhere. Even you take a walk. But you got to rebuke that thing, because you know why? Satan is trying to start something up.
Amen.
And in your house, you've got to have peace. So you got to fight for it, right?
Yes. Amen.
Even if the other person's acting crazy, you know what they're trying to do? This is it, Pastor Ben. I'm done. I went to jail almost every month for a year for fighting. You know why? Because all Satan had to do was get somebody to come up to me and say, hey, you big bubblehead. And then I go, you want to fight? Because I never said, well, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. God bless you. I never acted like a mature Christian, right? So every month I'm in jail. Every month I'm in jail, right? If Satan, look, if I told Greg this one time, if we boxing and the jab's working, I'm not going to do nothing else, because you can't block that. I'm going to jab you till you fall out. You understand? So if Satan can get you in your temper, then he's going to get you in your temper. Why should he move on? I got you. You don't even know how to block this yet. Once you block this, I'll move on to something else.
Uh-huh.
So when you see stuff coming, rebuke it. Block it.
Amen.
I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Okay, you want to argue? God bless you. You know I love you. I'm going to take a walk. I'll be back. We'll pray together. We have to be able to fight a spiritual battle, mature in our spirit, okay? And not let our flesh tell our spirit what to do. If you're going to do that, you might as well tell all the teenagers in your house, you are now in charge of the house. Whatever you say, go. Or you might as well tell yourself, you know what? If you're below the age of 10, you can now control the house. You're going to have problems. Okay? So the spirit, the head of the house, has to make the decision. My spirit, because I'm in the Word, my study time, right? That's how I'm protecting myself. My study time tells me what God is like and what He expects out of me. So I know I'm rebuking this in the name of Jesus, because the Word says this.
Yes.
You understand? So this is what I'm saying. Look, time is short. A lot of people have given up. I know you guys don't think. A lot of people have given up, okay? They've given up not on believing in Jesus. Oh, He exists. I love Him. He's up there. But they have no fidelity. You understand?
Yeah.
The fidelity is what God is looking for. Are you faithful to me? Okay? Or are you halfway in the world and halfway in God? And if you're that way, then you're not with God at all. You're lukewarm. And that don't go. Okay? Praise God. Sorry I yelled at you guys. That's it.
Amen. Beautiful message. Beautiful.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Israel.